You know, for a grand total of two chapters at the very beginning of the Bible, the relationship between the Creator and His human creation was as it was supposed to be. God and humans walked and talked together in the garden, and God was with humankind, and we humans were with Him. But in the third chapter, sin comes along and broke that. God is holy, and He cannot directly be with sin. And so this terrible chasm was ripped between us and our Maker. And worse still, despite all the warnings from God that life without Him is doomed to fail, both in this world and for eternity, most of us throughout history haven't even wanted to repair the chasm. We liked making up our own rules and doing what we wished, and so many of us have been content on our side of the divide. God, however, was not content. And we saw last Sunday morning in the second of my three Advent sermons for you this year that God immediately after that first sin had a plan to redeem and to restore. A distant offspring of Eve, it was said, when the timing was right, would be sent by God to crush Satan's head and to provide a bridge over that chasm for those who would choose to cross it. And we saw last Sunday that God began leaving clues through His work with the Israelite nation, the nation out of which the Savior would be born, as to the nature of what that Savior and His work would be like. The Savior and Messiah would be both man and God. He would be both priest and king. His blood would be spilled so that we could be passed over from judgment for our sins. This Savior would be Emmanuel, God with us. The monumental day finally arrived. A day that changed everything. Jesus was born, and all the prophecies and symbols and types and clues all began to come true. And at that moment, God and humanity came as close together as they had been since dwelling with each other back in the Garden of Eden. There was more work to be done, though. That baby Emmanuel had to grow and learn and teach and preach and heal and love, and he had to spill that blood already mentioned to pay the price for our sins and construct that bridge over the chasm. And Jesus did all that. And that then leads us into the third of my three Advent sermons. Following the Savior's death on the cross, another startling announcement was made. Yeah, God is now with us, but it wasn't going to stop there. The new announcement was that if we will get ourselves back into right relationship with our Maker, if we would choose to cross that bridge Jesus set up for us, God won't only be with us, He will be within us. In our recently completed sermon series on the book of Acts, we read a lot about this last announcement, so I'm not going to dig in too deeply on this teaching here, but the idea was that once Jesus makes us clean from sin, and you know, we'll continue to be sinners even after that happens, but God can look at us as though we are clean because of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Once Jesus makes us clean from sin, then God can actually come so close to us that He can reside within us. Here's the teaching from Jesus Himself. From John 14, He said, "If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. On that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you." The Apostle Paul later said to the Christian believers in Corinth, "Don't you know you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you?" So another astounding announcement here, God with us, God within us. Well, if God's Spirit lives inside of me, then I don't know about you, but I'm wondering, how can I feel that? How can I sense the Spirit at work in me? If God lives in me, then I should be able to hear him communicating to me, shouldn't I? I think that last question especially is one of the big questions in Christianity. We all ask that, don't we? How can I hear from God? Well, on this last Sunday in Advent, this day I have us thinking about God within us, I thought we could do some work on answering that question. How can I hear from God? However, we won't only be looking at that idea from the perspective of how the Holy Spirit within us might communicate to us. I think it's important if we're going to ask this question that we handle it more broadly. So how do we hear from God, period? And actually, that would be a question mark at the end of that sentence. What are the ways, anyways, in which people can and have heard communication from God? That's our central question for today. We are going to look at some of what the Bible has to say about this, but I thought we'd begin by hearing from some fellow Christ followers as to their experiences of getting communication from God in their lives. And you know what? We've already been introduced in this sermon series to some people who can provide that for us. Back in my first Advent sermon, we were asking the question there, what is life like for humans without God? And we looked at three people who became Christ followers later in their lives, and we listened to them to describe their experience of life prior to knowing Jesus and having made that decision for him. We didn't focus on it back then, but all three of those people also described in their testimonies how they heard from God in various ways as time went on. So let's go back to those three friends now and see what we can learn from their experiences. Eduardo Roca, you'll recall if you were here, bounced between New York and his native Uruguay as a youngster. He was a child of divorced parents who both seemed incapable of loving him well. When he reached his later teenage years, his older brother Danny recruited Eduardo into his New York drug dealing business. And then as a young adult, Eduardo was arrested and was facing a sentence of 15 years to life. Since Eduardo had only known loneliness and despair prior to this, that was a fate he couldn't bear. And so while in his prison cell, he wrapped a bedsheet around his neck and he began to hang himself. And it's at that moment that we are going to come upon our first testimony of someone hearing a communication from God. Eduardo writes, "The sheet got tighter, the world started fading away. But just before succumbing to the darkness, I heard a voice in my native Spanish saying, 'Eduardo, don't do it. There is hope for your life.'" Before I finish Eduardo's story, I want to start collecting now with you a list of some ways in which people have heard from God. Some ways in which people have heard from God. And our first entry here then is some people have heard from God by hearing his actual voice. Eduardo testifies that he heard the voice of God. He doesn't say if he heard it, through his ears, audibly or audibly within his mind, but he says he heard it and it altered his path. After hearing God's voice, Eduardo loosened the bedsheet and prayed, "God, if that's really you, please help me." What followed was that Eduardo started seeing answers to that prayer. It started with a prison guard giving him a Bible, which he began reading. Then there was an invitation to attend a Bible study at the prison. Along came a volunteer at that program who told Eduardo that God loved him and that he did too. And he hugged Eduardo, and that was meaningful, really meaningful for Eduardo, because he says that he had forgotten what it felt like to be hugged. And then, to top it all off, he says that in a sequence of seemingly miraculous events, my 15-year sentence was reduced and I became eligible for parole after just 3 years. Eduardo had asked God for help, and he received it. I want to add a second entry onto our list of ways in which people have experienced hearing from God. Then let's put on their through-answered prayers. Eduardo prayed for help, and then God communicated to him more beyond the voice that he had heard through answering that prayer. Now, we should point out, and even Eduardo points this out, that it wasn't the case then that everything in Eduardo's life from that day on went unbelievably smoothly. Okay? In fact, when he was freed from prison, he was deported back to Uruguay, which was not something he had wanted. But in Uruguay, Eduardo kept leaning into Christ there, pushing through the disappointments and the waiting. And eventually he graduated from Bible college. He became an official U.S. citizen. And now he is a chaplain for the Tennessee State Guard. So even some of those desires that he had prayed to God about were answered, but not prior to years of struggle. So let's add a disclosure onto this list entry of answered prayer then. The disclosure should say that God does communicate through answered prayers, often in miraculous ways. But when you enter into a Christian walk, you also should be ready to wait. Those of us who have been walking this Christian path for a long time will testify that God works in his own timing. And it's often a lot slower than our timing. Remember that God is going to do things in the right timing, and he's going to wait for that. And also, there is much that we learn through waiting, and God knows that as well. So be ready to wait. Some of our prayers may get answered right away. Some not for many years, and some not until heaven. But the point remains true. I'd imagine there are billions of people who would testify to having received communication from God in their lives through his answering of their prayers. So that's Eduardo. Second person whose life story we looked at two Sundays ago was a stuntman named Robert Wilton. Before he was a Christian believer, Mr. Wilton says that he projected indestructibility to the world, but inside he was racked with fear and anxiety, which he would suppress through, he says, distraction and self-indulgence. What turned things around for Robert was the voice of a person, the stunt coordinator for a movie he began working on was a Christ follower and apparently a vocal one because Robert started calling him the Preacher-nator. He tried his best to let the Preacher-nator know that he was doing okay without God. But the man was saying things to him about Jesus, and those words, Robert says now, were like a small stone stuck in my shoe. He couldn't shake them. And so he kept talking with the stunt coordinator about Christ and eventually came to a decision to submit his life to God. So let's add then to our list of ways in which people have experienced hearing from God. We can add this. People have heard him through the words of other Christ followers. God can speak through the words and the actions of those around us who are following him. Kira Fontana was the third person whose life story we looked at. A couple weeks ago, she was a celebrity vocal coach in California who tried to fill the hole she felt within her through Eastern religions and meditation, but she discovered that something was still off. She ended up in failed relationships and struggled to find true purpose. She felt empty inside. Well, some Christian family members challenged her to read the Bible, which apparently she was upset about because she says she didn't talk to them for quite a while after that. But she did go read the Bible, and along with serious and lengthy prayers to God over a year, she says, she read, she prayed, although I was going to say, too, at the time, she wasn't sure who to pray to, because she said at that point, she believed in a universal force of light and love. But she prayed and read, and the Bible rocked her world. It challenged every aspect of her worldview. She says she alternated between resistance and serious consideration that the Bible might be true. Eventually, she began to attend a Bible-believing church. She joined an Alpha class. You might be familiar with that. And she says, I asked a ton of questions. I read multiple books on apologetics. Eventually, I was ready to surrender my life to Christ. So first and foremost, for Kira, it was communication of God to her through the pages of the Bible that altered her path. And absolutely, we need to add that one on our list, right? We can hear from God through the reading of Scripture, reading of the Bible. Kira has one more for us. After submitting to Jesus, she became increasingly disgusted with the lyrics of the pop music that she was helping singers with, and she began to pray to God about whether he might have some other way in which she could use her musical talents. She writes, "After only a couple of weeks of praying about that, I felt God clearly call me to leave LA and move 2 hours south to San Diego County. I saw a vision for a Christian music company called Kingdom Sound and began pursuing it, even though I wasn't sure where it would lead. Leaving everything I knew was incredibly scary, and I hoped God wouldn't forsake me. Alone one night in my new home, I felt I had truly reached the end of myself. I cried out to God with a desperation and sadness I'd never felt before, asking, 'Why did you even make me?' I felt I had completely failed in so many areas of life, including my own music. That very night, I woke up from a dream at 3 a.m. In the dream, I heard an amazing song, and I knew it was for me. I got up, rushed down to the piano, and recorded the chorus for Refuge. It was my first worship song. From that day forward, God began to pour out worship songs, and I experienced a complete revival of musical creativity. God had answered my prayer in a radical way, and I knew he was saying, 'I made you to worship me.' Since I put my faith in Christ, God has redeemed everything that was lost in my life. He's freed me from the prison of my selfishness, rescued me from darkness, and brought me into his light. He's given my life new purpose, equipping me to serve his kingdom and glorify his name with music. There is no greater joy." So Kira had been hearing God's voice through the Bible, but after she submitted to him, a new avenue of communication was opened up. And she said that first she experienced a calling to move from LA to San Diego and work towards opening this Christian music company. So we'll add a calling to the list. That would be a feeling or a sense that God was calling you to something, either something that he placed into your mind or something you got into your mind from other sources, but he's not letting you forget it. We might also call this a prompting. Kira obeyed that prompting, made the big move, but soon after that, you know, this Christianity thing was new to her. Soon after that, she started feeling lost. But at her worst moment, she says, God gave her a dream, and within that dream, he gave her a song, and he led her through all of that onto a new redeemed path that he had for her. If you've read the Bible, you know that many people have heard from God through dreams, visions. And Kira is testifying there that God's still in that business. In fact, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I've been hearing from multiple sources of a major work God is doing in recent years in Muslim communities where, as you know, a Bible may not be available. Many, many people are receiving dreams of Jesus calling them to him, Muslim people. There were actually a ton of these stories in the Case for Miracles book that we were using as a companion book in our Acts study. But even my uncle in Colorado has run into this. He wrote to my mother somewhat recently, and she passed on to me that he had struck up a friendship with one of the bank tellers where he had to go daily to make a deposit for work. He could tell she was Muslim. One day, he decided to step things up in their conversations noticed that she was wearing a necklace in the shape of a tree, and he said, "I like your necklace. It reminds me of the description of the tree of life in the Bible." I just tried to imagine myself doing that. He's looking for anything, right? Any little connection. But it worked. Listen to this. And instead of calling him a Jesus freak in response, this woman says, "Oh, where can I find that in the Bible? I've just started reading it lately. In fact, just last night, I prayed that God would send me someone who can tell me about Jesus. Perhaps you are my miracle." And I'll tell you that if the prayer was for someone who could tell her about Jesus, well, my Uncle Stan would be the guy. He's a great, just calm, quiet, solid Christian man. Well, she ended up attending church with my uncle and aunt soon after that. And later they learned from her that what had gotten her into reading the Bible in the first place was a dream of Jesus. She told them, "I was raised a Muslim, But Jesus appeared to me in a dream and said, follow after me and you will find me. She didn't know what that meant at the time, but now she's a believer. Many human beings throughout the centuries, like this bank teller and like Kira Fontana, have testified to having heard from God through dreams and visions. Well, those are some stories of that people have told of their communications from God that they've experienced. What does the Bible say on how to receive communication from the Lord? Well, the Bible echoes a lot of what we've put onto our list already. Moses, Samuel, Elijah, many others heard the actual voice of God. We know that answered prayer was a way in which God communicated in so many of the Bible stories. In our Acts sermon series, we saw Paul and others being guided by the Holy Spirit through communications he gave to them through visions and dreams, promptings, those kinds of things. Isaiah talked about that too. He said this, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. To me, I think Isaiah, that feels like a prompting, doesn't it, from the Holy Spirit? Might be a prompting about something specific. It might just be a general reminder to walk in the ways that God has commanded. And also, of course, yes, the Bible agrees with the item on our list that says that God speaks through Scripture and especially through Jesus. Here's Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Messages recorded for us in Scripture, by the way. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. So we can't overstate the importance of this one. If you want to hear from God, read the Bible, and especially read the words of Jesus. And then there are a couple things we can add to our list from what the Bible says about hearing from God. The book of Acts and other spots in the New Testament talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts that the Holy Spirit might give to a person, things like a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. There are gifts of supernatural faith, it says, and healing, prophecy, speaking in and or interpreting tongues. So some of those things could be ways in which God might communicate to us or at least encourage us by empowering us to do those things. And then one more from the Bible, a passage that gets quoted a lot because I think it's an important one. 1 Kings 19. God decides to encourage the prophet Elijah by communicating to him in a special way. The Lord says to him, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, and when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. So God spoke to Elijah, not in the fire and in the fury, but in a gentle whisper. And so many have pointed out that if we are wanting to hear that gentle whisper, we're going to have to get quiet and listen. Someone has said that the same letters that are in the word listen spell the word silent. How often do we in our modern society actually allow ourselves to sit for lengthy periods of time in actual silence? If we want to hear from God, we need to regularly be doing that with him. Sitting in prayer, listening, regularly doing what this woman is doing, right? And for those listening to this sermon later on the internet or whatever, we're looking at a picture now of a woman sitting on top of a hill, looking down over a scenic valley, alone with God, praying, listening. So the Bible tells us that one way in which people have experienced hearing God could be compared to him speaking through a gentle whisper. So we had better be prepared to get quiet and listen. Well, you know, I've sought communication from God throughout my life. I imagine most of you would say that too. And I've told you a time or two here that it actually is kind of a frustrating experience for me because I want to hear his actual voice, right? I want something that's really clearly from him, and I want that regularly. And so I get frustrated because I don't get what I want. But in the reality is that I have heard from him. God has regularly communicated to me through something, this is just one example, something I like to call heartburn. Those moments when I read or think of his goodness and the wisdom of his teachings and my heart gets all excited. Can you relate to that? I call it heartburn. There's something in our souls, I believe, that resonates with the goodness and the truth of God. And I think that's a way that God communicates to us. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth. You'll sense that it's true. Your heart will feel that it's true. And the truth will set you free. Heartburn. Did not our hearts burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us? And I've also told you many times about how very often when I go to prayer, I go in with something that's bugging me, bothering me, situation I don't know what to do about, and I leave that prayer with a plan and a sense of peace about that plan. And typically there's no, you know, audible or obvious internal God voice going on there. Simply sitting in prayer, asking God about that thing, and I come away with answers and peace. This is a common way I believe God communicates to me, direction and peace given while in prayer. And then I too have experienced many of the things we already have on our list. God speaking through people who follow him. Have you ever had someone come up, a Christ follower come up and tell you exactly what you needed to hear at that moment? I've had that. Anna and I have felt the communication from God through answered prayers. Open doors, provision, through the amazing alignment of circumstances. And I've told you before that I've even heard a voice in my head, just a very small handful of times. Not an audible voice, but something that did not feel like my normal inner voice. Perhaps a gentle whisper. More often than not, when I've received a message like that, it's been backed up shortly after that by events, things that happen. I want those kinds of things all the time, and I don't get them. And so I get frustrated. But the reality is, when you look at that, God really has communicated with me in my life. Well, let's read through this full list we've accumulated now. These are ways in which people have experienced hearing from God. Some have heard the actual voice of God. Many have heard from God through answered prayer, but disclaimer, be ready to wait for some of those answers. God works on his timetable. Many have heard from God through the words of other Christ followers. I would say that all Christ followers have heard from God through reading the words of the Bible, and especially the words of Jesus. Many have heard from God through a calling or a prompting within them. Many have received dreams or visions from God. God sometimes speaks through things the Bible calls spiritual gifts, like a message of knowledge, message of wisdom, prophecy, etc. Many have experienced hearing from God through something that could be described as a gentle whisper. And so if you want to hear that whisper, you need to get quiet and listen. I and others have not so much heard but felt communication from God in the way our hearts beat within us when we're struck by his goodness and truth, heartburn. And I and so many others have received direction and peace, not through any obvious supernatural voice, but simply from spending time with God in prayer about an issue. It just happens. Now, not all of those methods of communication from God would come from God living within us. Right? Reading the Bible, having another person come up and talk to you, that doesn't fit. But many of the items on that list could be examples of that, like receiving a calling or prompting from God. That's something going on within us. Dreams or visions, obviously. Spiritual gifts. The gentle whisper we hear. Or even the actual voice of God if it's just happening in our heads. Spiritual heartburn. Direction and peace coming from sitting in prayer on an issue. I think those are the answers to the question of how we can hear from God's Spirit as he lives within us. Hey, let me throw in I've just got a couple last random but related thoughts before I bring this into a close. First of all, can I just say that not everything that we sense is directly from God, okay? It's really easy, I think, for us to get carried away with this and to start thinking that everything that pops into our head was sent to us from the Lord, okay? And maybe you've met people like that. Let's exercise some restraint. Test the things that you believe might be communications from God. Are they consistent with Scripture? Do they look like Jesus? If they don't, get rid of them. But even if that message you think might be from God does pass the tests, it still doesn't mean for sure that it's from God. So be cautious. Don't be overly cautious because God speaks, but let's be cautious. Second, when we wonder about how to sense God's Spirit within us, remember that the Bible tells us there's a test for that. The test is, are we starting to see these characteristics growing in our lives? Are we becoming more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, patient, kind, gentle, self-controlled? If so, the Bible says that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is living in you and is doing what he does. If you aren't experiencing those things in increasing measure, and you know, I'm talking over longer periods of time now. We all have our low times. But if you're not experiencing that, maybe something is off spiritually within you and you need to look into that and correct it. But anyway, you can run a test on yourself to see if there is evidence of God's Spirit residing within you. And then last one, and this is just for fun. Here's another question that comes from this idea that God lives within us. Okay, so if God's Spirit is within us, it would make sense that God knows our thoughts then, right? And the Bible says that God does know our thoughts. Have you ever wondered if that could actually be true? Doesn't it seem too incredible to be true? I mean, there are 7.8 billion people on this planet. How could God handle all of those thoughts coming at him at the same time? Well, here's some perspective. Space.com says that a very conservative estimate of the number of stars in the average galaxy might be 100 million. It also says there may be as many as 10 trillion galaxies in the universe. That would mean that this God we've been talking about here today has created 100 million times 10 trillion stars. Our God is a God of big numbers. Amen. And I think he can handle our thoughts all coming at him. Well, our three-part Advent sermon series has gone like this. Part one was about God without us, more properly, us without God. And we saw the pictures not pretty. Part two was God with us. Jesus arrives. Emmanuel, he came to bridge the chasm, praise the Lord. And God didn't stop there because after the cross and resurrection, we have part three, God within us. Without God, Eduardo Roca said he only felt loneliness and despair. Without God, Robert Wilton said he was full of fear and anxiety, leading him to cover that over with distraction and self-indulgence. Without God, Kira Fontana said she was empty, full of failed relationships and without true purpose. But God is with us, and God can even be within us. And all three of those people experience God communicating to them through a variety of these methods we've talked about today, and they all testify to having been brought alive by Jesus Christ. He hasn't brought them into a life that is without struggle, but he has brought them into a life that's full of purpose and peace. You know, in my first sermon, we talked about how life without God is really scary. But Christ followers, good news. God is within us. We can live our days with an ever-present companion. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That'd be the Holy Spirit. We can be confident that God knows our thoughts, our circumstances, our concerns, that he's involved in our lives. We can be confident that he'll either prevent us from going through the scary thing, or he'll walk that scary path with us, and in the end, he'll bring us to live with him in heaven. When God is within us, we don't have to be so scared, so anxious. And finally, speaking of the end, I also said in that first sermon that I would not want to go to the moment of my death without God. When we're first brought into this world, while we're in our mother's womb, it's just us and God. And it's going to return to that situation for us. Even if there are people sitting by our hospice bed, time will come when we won't be able to communicate to those people any longer. And if you don't have God in your life at that moment, we said that's going to be an awfully lonely moment. But Christ followers, good news. We're not alone, not even in our dying moment. God is within us. At this time of Christmas, let us be thankful that we're not without God in our lives, for God is with us and God is within us. Praise the Lord.